When I learned about the coup, I felt lost, alone in the ocean. I live here, but my thoughts are with everyone back home.
Deadly protests in Myanmar. It's Monday, February 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're also online on VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, U.S. immigration reverses course again, COVID vaccine myths, and landing a big tennis trophy. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Thousands of demonstrators took to the streets across Myanmar again on Sunday, a day after two people were killed when police and security forces used live and rubber bullets, tear gas, water cannons, and slingshots against those protesting the military's February 1st coup. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the deadly violence. He said the use of lethal force, intimidation, and harassment against peaceful demonstrators is unacceptable. 20 people were wounded in Saturday's violence, according to the head of a volunteer emergency service, and 569 have been detained in connection with the military takeover. That's according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, an activist group. Early on Sunday, police arrested a famous actor, Lu Min, who had taken part in protests in Yangon and was one of six celebrities the army said were wanted under an anti-incitement law. The army accused Lu Min of encouraging civil servants to join in the protest. If convicted, he faces a 2-year prison sentence. With mass protests taking place in Myanmar against the coup, migrant workers in neighboring Thailand are also voicing their outrage over the military takeover back home. We have details from Vitra Dwangdi in Bangkok.
Far from home, but still seething with anger, Myanmar migrant workers in Thailand protest against the military coup in their country. Myanmar's army seized power on February 1st, unable to accept a big election loss in November, to the party of the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. Massive pro-democracy protests have erupted across Myanmar as migrants in Thailand rally in solidarity.
When I learned about the coup, I felt lost, alone in the ocean. I live here, but my thoughts are with everyone back home.
With borders closed and internet blackouts imposed by the army, factory worker Amy says the distance to loved ones back home feels wider than ever.
When the internet is cut off, my mom worries about us kids. She's there alone. We just want peace in our country.
Hundreds of thousands of people from Myanmar work in construction, factories, and restaurants in Thailand. They send vital remittances home to families who live in one of Southeast Asia's poorest countries. So far, Thai police have stood by as migrants stage anti-coup rallies. But the kingdom is under a state of emergency to fight the coronavirus. The law bans mass gatherings, which makes the migrant protests fraught with risk, say migrant advocates.
If migrants are arrested, they could be deported.
Thai authorities are also contending with a youth-led pro-democracy movement against the country's generals, who also refuse to leave the political stage. Aided by the internet, young protesters from both countries are swapping symbols and tactics as they reject authoritarianism. Myanmar's demonstrators have adopted the three-finger Hunger Games salute of resistance used by Thailand's protesters. In exchange, their Thai peers are banging pots and pans, a form of loud protest borrowed from Myanmar, meant to drive away evil. The sound of rebellion against military rule is refusing to be silenced. Vichitra Dungdi for VOA News, Bangkok.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Actor arrested, two Myanmar protesters killed by gunfire. Mass COVID-19 vaccination begins in Australia. India and China complete troop pullout from lake area. Afghans rescued from Taliban say they were tortured. Pakistan Zoo begins mammoth makeover after lonely elephant's departure. expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found online at our Facebook page, VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington, where Democrats introduced a bill based on the Biden administration's immigration priorities that would provide a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants. Meanwhile, officials will begin processing Central American asylum seekers who were turned back and forced to remain in Mexico under a controversial Trump-era policy that has been revoked. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has the story.
U.S. officials will begin to process up to 25,000 migrants turned away under the Trump-era migrant protection protocols. Good news for asylum seekers at this shelter on the Texas border with Mexico.
Our miracle is about to come true. We are very happy about it.
Democratic lawmakers introduced a bill to add resources to handle the backlog of asylum seekers. The U.S. Citizenship Act will also increase caps for green card lotteries, change the word alien to non-citizen in U.S. laws, and provide a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants.
So this is a values-based but also economically beneficial. And as I have always said, immigrants coming to our country, with newcomers coming with their hopes and dreams and aspirations, with their optimism and determination to make the future better for their families, well, those are American traits.
Aimed to counteract 4 years of Donald Trump's hardline border policies, the bill is unlikely to receive enough Republican support in the Senate.
It is a very radical bill in that it greatly opens the border to additional waves of illegal immigration. It makes the government a participant in illegal immigration. And then it also eliminates grounds for removal on the back end. So not only would more illegal aliens be coming into the U.S., we would not be deporting very many.
The bill reflects immigration priorities that President Joe Biden introduced hours after he was sworn in. Earlier this month, Biden announced an increase in annual refugee admissions, which fell to a historic low under Trump.
Up to 125,000 persons for the first full fiscal year of the Biden-Harris administration.
Immigration reform is a key campaign promise for Biden, one that he is eager to pursue while Democrats hold the majority in Congress. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Malaysia's highest court found a national news portal in contempt of court for comments posted by readers deemed offensive to the judiciary in a case widely seen as a test of media freedom in the Southeast Asian nation. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. We're glad you're starting it off with us at VOA Asia. People the world over have questions about the safety of COVID-19 vaccines, and some are reluctant to get immunized. VOA's Carol Pearson helps debunk some of the common myths about the COVID vaccines.
Scientists around the world have rushed to find a vaccine to protect against the virus that's caused the COVID-19 pandemic. The virus has claimed more than 2 million lives and infected more than 100 million people. Yet despite the proven protection that COVID vaccines offer, people still have doubts about getting one.
I don't know what to believe, to either believe the news, believe social media, believe whatever, you know, is out there, you know?
I'm a little bit skeptical because I want to know, how is it going to affect my immune system?
I don't see why I would take a vaccine for something that I may not ever get.
The skepticism is just as real in sprawling cities like Los Angeles and in the small towns of West Virginia.
The bad part about it is if it goes wrong and you do get a virus from it, then what?
Some vaccines are made from weakened or dead viruses, but experts say there's no need to worry. Dr. Tosin Goji of the Cleveland Clinic was trained in infectious diseases.
No, it's not going to give you COVID. It's not a live vaccine. You're not going to get a COVID infection.
Although the vaccines are new, Dr. Goji says the technology used to make them is not.
It was initially put together for cancer patients. So it's not like we just found this technology within the past year for COVID. It's something that has been in place. And when the opportunity came, it was like an aha moment, like we can use this technology for this.
The World Health Organization has a web page that addresses the myths and concerns about the vaccines and the virus itself, including who can get COVID-19. The answer, everyone. Can certain foods, like garlic, protect against COVID? What about dietary supplements or vitamins? The World Health Organization says there's no evidence they can. And then there's a belief that these vaccines can change your genetic code.
It will destroy your DNA and you'll become part of like a transhuman because they're putting nanoparticles into it.
The Pfizer, Moderna, and Sputnik vaccines are mRNA vaccines or messenger RNA vaccines. These vaccines teach our cells how to make a protein or even a piece of a protein that triggers an immune response inside our bodies.
People think, oh, it's going to change me. And that's why I take the pictures. It's not integrating itself into your DNA. No, it's not changing who you are.
The World Health Organization is calling for massive public education campaigns to address people's concerns and their fears. Experts say vaccines, along with prevention efforts, keeping hands clean, wearing masks, and social distancing, will put an end to the pandemic, but only if people follow these practices. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Japanese tennis fans are celebrating another Grand Slam title for Naomi Osaka, who played a solid match to defeat American Jennifer Brady 6-4, 6-3 in 77 minutes to win the Australian Open for a second time. It is also her fourth career major title. Osaka is the first woman since Monica Seles in the early 1990s to win her first four major titles, as we hear more from Craig Gabriel, courtside in Melbourne.
Naomi Osaka has become just the 12th woman in the Open era, which goes back to 1968, to win multiple Australian Opens. She defeated Jennifer Brady 6-4, 6-3 in 77 minutes to hoist the Daphne Akers Memorial Trophy.
Tonight I felt was more of a mental battle. I think we were both nervous. Of course, I can't speak for her, but I was extremely nervous. And I honestly just told myself before the match, I'm probably not going to play well. And I shouldn't put that pressure on myself to play perfectly, but just go out there and fight for every point. You know, the outcome is whatever it wants to be, but I can live with the fact that I tried very hard.
Brady had to serve to stay in the first set, but facing set point, she dumped a forehand into the net. It should have been a straightforward return.
Not the way that I wanted it, but yeah, I would say it was exciting to be out there. I had, you know, I enjoyed every single minute playing in front of fans in my first Grand Slam final.
Osaka raced to a 4-love lead in the second, and credit to Brady as she rallied a bit, but it was not enough.
Didn't go my way, but at the same time, coming off court, I was like, okay, that feels a little bit normal. It felt different than what I was expecting it to feel like. If you were to ask me maybe a year ago, I wouldn't think it's possible, or it would feel like it's like going to Mars. So I would say just being more comfortable at this level. Yeah.
Naomi came up with a big serve on championship point, and Jen couldn't really control the return, and it went out as Osaka, with her face beaming, raised her arms in victory.
For me, my feelings, I'm really happy right now. I think this is a moment that I've been working for during the entire preseason. And you know, it's really weird when you get to that final point, you start trembling because you can think of like the what ifs. For me, I feel like I'm living in a what-if right now.
Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Of course, the men's final followed, and Novak Djokovic of Serbia is now being referred to as the king of Melbourne Park. He has won his 9th Australian Open, beating Daniil Medvedev of Russia 7-5, 6-2, 6-2. The win is the 18th career major for Djokovic. Only Roger Federer of Switzerland and Rafael Nadal of Spain are ahead of him with 20 each. With the conclusion of the Aussie Open Tennis Tournament, we conclude our program for today. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow on VOA Asia. You can continue online in the meantime. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at VOA Asia. We also thank those who help bring the program to you every day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.